scripture reading will be from Romans chapter 1 and verses 8 through 15. Romans chapter 1, 8 through 15, the Bible says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit and the gospel of His Son, is my witness as to how, without ceasing, I make mention of you. Always in my prayers, earnestly asking if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be strengthened. That is, to be mutually encouraged while among you by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I often have planned to come to you, and I have been prevented so far, so that I may have fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. In this way, for my part, I am eager to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome."
Good morning, friends, brethren. Again, I hope you're having a great day today. It's a beautiful Lord's Day. I've been praying for some rain, honestly. But I guess we can get sunny days a lot, too. I don't like the sun too much, but it's another beautiful part of God's creation, though. It's everything of God's creation is beautiful. But there's a lot of points that we can make from this text. A lot of lessons that we can take. I just thought we'd review this text today about the Roman Church of Christ and the things that were said about it as far as in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. One of the neatest parts about there's so many neat things about the book of Romans, yes. But one of the neatest things about the Roman Church of Christ in particular is that their faith was known throughout the world. Now, brethren and friends, can we say that this congregation of the Lord's Church, that our faith is truly known throughout the world? Can we say that? I'm not sure we can. I'm not sure we can. And so many other congregations of the Lord's Church. Now that's only an instruction and a challenge to all of us as a congregation of Christ's body to do better. To try to get the word out there of Jesus Christ even more. That's a challenge. That's not something to say, oh, well, I need to give up. That's not something to just, well, it's over. As a Christian. No. You continue and you grow in your life as a Christian. And one of those parts of growing is understanding that salvation from Jesus Christ is not just for yourself alone. It's also offered and extended to everybody who hears it. If they would but put their faith in Jesus Christ and act upon it. Do things about it. You think the Roman Church of Christ's faith was known throughout the world because they sat in their homes and believed in a faith-only doctrine? Because they sat in their homes and believed that God was real? You think that's how their faith was known throughout the world? Certainly not. Their faith was known throughout the world because they told people they were Christians of Jesus Christ's body. Because they told people about Jesus' saving message. Because they even understood what was said even in the gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and throughout the epistles, the instructions. All the different things that one would need to know for salvation's sake. So again, can we say our faith, or even individually, is spoken of throughout the world we live in? Or even through the community. Do people know Berryville Church of Christ? Do people know that this even is a place here? They know if it's even here at all. I've seen so many buildings around this town as I've lived here now that are just like old and destroyed and they've just been sitting there forever. And what? Think about in the minds of these people that are driving down this road, do they even know that Berryville Church of Christ is here? Do they even know that we meet here to worship our God in spirit and in truth and according to the law of the New Testament? Do they even know that? That's something we all need to ask. And certainly it's a challenge again to try to get the gospel out there in our workplaces, whenever we go out and try into the marketplaces, wherever we are. It's a challenge, brethren. Our faith should be known. And our praying again, as this text even also lessons to us, should always be happening. We should always be having faith in Jesus Christ and working in it and doing things about it. Our faith should be known throughout the whole world because we're doing things about it. There's a couple things to note here first. Obviously, contextually, Paul is thanking God because the faith of the Roman Church of Christ is known. And so, can other Christians thank God because our congregation, the Lord's Church faith, is known? Or individually, us as Christians, because our faith is known. And we are such an example of Jesus Christ to others. We're such an example of Jesus Christ, not just to the world, but to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. People should know that our faith is strong, that our faith is good. If it's lacking, then that's a problem individually that we need to address, that we need to certainly take care of if there's a sin in our life or if we're needing to grow as Christians. All these things are applicable. But people should know that we stand on God's truth, on Jesus Christ's word, and on the Father's will, according to the New Testament. Brethren, keep in mind again that their faith is known because they did something, because of their works, as James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 understands and says there. Faith is not just belief in God alone. Faith is not just be warmed and filled. Faith is taking this guy to an inn, paying for him to have a bed if he doesn't have the ability to do so, helping the guy out, showing the love of Jesus Christ to a fellow man, not just to a brother or sister in Christ, to anybody. Jesus died on a cross forgiving his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, whenever they weren't even righteous. Whenever even also there were a bunch of Jews who were living sinfully, according to God. And yet Jesus still, forgiving his enemies as he's on a cross, bleeding and dying in the most excruciating pain, forgiving his enemies, loving them unconditionally with God's type of love. We need to have that same love for our fellow man. We need to have that same love for everybody and exampling that faith in Jesus Christ. Again, this faith here is a system of faith. We don't follow a man. We don't follow an idea. We don't follow because somebody told us to do it. We follow Jesus Christ because He came, He died on a cross, He showed us the way before that we should live in the gospel accounts. He even had His apostles and others write epistles to the churches as far as what to do by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as the New Testament indicates. And Jesus told of the victory that was through Him. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. No one else is. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said in John 8:58, I am. He's not talking about anyone else being God. He's not talking about anyone else being your founder of religion, being your religious leader, being your priest. Jesus is the high priest according to the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the one in which we get to even the Father God, the one we get through to heaven. Jesus Christ is the one we need to put our faith in and the one we need to act upon what He said. The Greek word here for faith is pistis, which means belief. Belief. Again, the Greek word is pistis, which means belief. You could translate this as their belief, their trust in something, or even their religion entirely. And so we might know about different denominations, different faiths, even world religions and what they believe. Some of them believe in a concept of only believing that God's real. Some of them believe in a concept of believing that God's real, and then a couple of things that the New Testament indicates. And then some things are just there, maybe figuratively speaking. Whenever they're in context, whenever the Church of Christ was obviously doing them in the first century as worship to God, yet people feel the need to change it. People feel the need to add things to it. Whenever God indicates that everything in Scripture was all sufficient and all perfect for us to be able to follow for salvation's sake. And so we don't need to change anything. These Roman Christians, they're showing this fact. They don't need to change anything about that faith. They don't need to change anything about what God told them to do. And Paul's thankful about that. That's such an amazing faith is happening in Rome, in that city, in a godless city even. That these Roman Christians are doing their best, even in a sinful society. And that is an application and a challenge to us today. As we look at a terrible, really, society that's even inventing evil things, as you look in the latter parts of this chapter, you feel like, well, what am I going to do? All of sin is encroaching upon around me. I'm not going to win against it. I can't survive. They're going to kill me. And that's oftentimes how prophets felt. That's oftentimes how apostles of Jesus Christ felt. The disciples of Jesus Christ throughout the centuries. But we've got to understand that God is with us no matter what, as long as we're doing what we need to do. God will always be with us as long as we're doing what we need to do according to the law and will of Christ. God will be with us, and it doesn't matter if we die or not physically. We will be living again spiritually in heaven, as we talked about last week. An entire series on heaven, so those two periods of worship that we had, that beautiful place we will inherit. And certainly, it is commissioned to us to preach the gospel, as the latter part of this section of text even reads. But faith without works, if I can't stress it enough, is dead. Faith without works is dead. It's something that is not real according to scriptural teaching. You cannot get to heaven upon just having faith. You must have all that is in Scripture. You must behave like Jesus Christ. You must have patience. You must have love. You must have humility. You must have gentleness. All these different things that we even talked about at the men's breakfast yesterday. You must have all these different attributes of God exemplified in you. That is the encompass of all that we're talking about as far as faith here. It's not just, I believe in God, and then walk out the double doors and misbehave yourself. And then come back here on Wednesday or on Sunday only, whatever. And misbehave yourself only when you're outside those double doors. That's not how we live for Jesus Christ. Do you understand that there's the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And then all those epistles and the Acts of the Apostles, does it seem like they were just showing up on Sunday and only living as Christians on Sunday, on the first day of the week? No, it doesn't. It seems like they were doing things throughout the week for Jesus Christ. They were living throughout the week for Jesus Christ. You see, it's a full-time thing. Not a job in that we punch in and punch out. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living that we might inherit another type of life in heaven. A beautiful life that's awaiting us through Jesus Christ, as He promised us in John 14. So again, you can't rip out passages like James chapter 2. You can't rip out passages like Hebrews chapter 11. You can't just put here a verse or make your entire faith upon one verse and then leave out the rest of the New Testament. You can't do those things. You read the entirety of what God had to say to you and to me. And then upon that, you act with your life as far as what you need to do to be saved. So can we say our congregation is known to the world like the Roman Church of Christ faith was? Continuing on here, Romans 1 and verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul would practice, now another lesson here, he would practice praying without ceasing with God as his only witness to his prayers. Now this is another lesson we can look at in Matthew chapter 6 verses 5 through 8. Some people pray to be seen by men. Some people have a faith that's only a presentation. Some people have a faith in Jesus Christ that's just only here on Sunday. They're pew warmers. They're here to warm a pew, and then whenever they walk out the double doors again, they're not Christians anymore. What is your faith like? What is my faith like? Again, this is a challenge and instruction to try to make us to grow in Christ. Not saying it's all over, but we can even have forgiveness of our sins, as 1 John indicates. Romans chapter 1, or Matthew 6, and verses 5 through 9, rather, again. If you turn there, we'll read that real quick. Matthew 5 through 8. Says there, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. We don't pray to God because we want to be seen. We don't do the Lord's Supper because we want to be seen. We don't give contribution because we want somebody to see how much money we have. We don't do any of these things because we want to be seen by men. We do it because we love our God. We want to serve Him according to His will, according to the New Testament's law. We want to do what Jesus Christ told us to do in our lifestyle, according to His law, even of worship. We want to live according to that. That's why we do those things in spirit and in truth, as John 4:23-24 indicates. We don't do it because we want to be a presentation or a joke or a fib or a show. Luke 5:16, even Jesus Himself would go in privacy and talk to God often. Throughout the gospel accounts, you can see Jesus sometimes leaving His apostles there, and He would go and He would pray to God alone. He would talk to God. He understood that He needed to put God first in all things. He needed time with God alone. And likewise, all of us as Christians should be giving time to God more. Not just on Sunday, not just when we go down to sleep at night. And sometimes it's a good thing to make it a practice every time we go to sleep, say a prayer, yes. Or whenever we sit down to eat. But throughout the day, whenever you want, when you sit down on the couch, when you watch TV, when you go to work and you're sitting in the cubicle, whatever. Pray to God, whatever you want, because you have the ability. Paul prays without ceasing here for his brethren, for really everything we see throughout the epistles he writes. He's praying. He's praying. Contextually, the Roman Church of Christ. How often do we pray without ceasing for our brethren? And that's one just lesson that we can take from this. Another thing we can take is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 10. If you go back there with me, Romans 1 and verse 10, we'll keep taking this verse by verse. This is an expository study. Romans 1 and verse 10 says, "Making request if by some means, not last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." What is Paul attributing the things that are going to happen? Who's he giving all the glory to? Who's he giving all of the what is going to happen to? He's giving it to God. He's putting his trust, his faith in God. He's saying, "God, whatever happens, I'm going to keep living for you. If people kill me, if people stone me, I'm going to keep doing what I need to do as a Christian. I'm going to keep praying according to the will of God." Some people end with their prayers, "Not our will, but yours be done, O God." Certainly that's amazing. That's a fitting end to your prayers, as well as in the name of Jesus Christ. But praying according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, excellently puts, let us pray with that disclaimer of according to the will of God. So often we think we know what's right. We think that we know what's right for our life, what needs to happen, what job we need to get, what type of occupation we need to get. We feel like we need to, you know, always make these decisions alone. We don't cast our burdens, our cares upon God. We don't pray to Him. But if we would just say, according to the will of God, ask for wisdom from God, pray to God, that God would certainly help us as we even have faith that He would. Hebrews 11, chapter 11 and verse 6, it says there, "Without faith it's impossible to please God. You must believe He's a rewarder even of the things that He promises." 1 John 5, 14 through 15, let's read it there. "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." So let us pray like this. Now this is another lesson that we can take from this Romans chapter 1 account. Continuing on in verse 11, if you would with me in chapter 1 of Romans. "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." That is, "that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Paul longed to see the Roman church here to help them spiritually, even to help himself. Being around brethren is a good thing. Why do you think we meet in the middle of the week? Why do you think we meet in the afternoon? It's not because necessarily God told us to. It's not right or wrong. But whether or not we meet again, if we still even just eat out with some brethren, you know, at a restaurant, whatever, fellowship is good. Fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ is good. The mutual faith showing of both parties is good. It encourages us. It helps us spiritually. It's a beautiful thing to see the faith of another Christian. And that's one thing that we can certainly see by example. When Christians come to this congregation at Berryville, from other places, you know, some preacher students from other areas have come and visited us, like Brendan Carr, and I think some others. And then we've also got Brother Jesse here, who used to preach here, and he went to the same school I did. And that's encouraging. When I see Brother Jesse, I see another man who's dedicated to the Lord. When I see Sister Kelsey, I see another woman who's dedicated to the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. And being around Christians again is encouraging. It's just challenging even to try to do better as a Christian. When I go around my grandfather, whom the guy has set up an entire work in Africa of schools, it encourages me to try to do better as a Christian. It encourages me to try to preach the gospel more. And certainly, it should encourage all of us whenever we see such beautiful things, even that Paul is doing in Scripture in the Acts of the Apostles, throughout the epistles. It should encourage us as Christians to want to do better according to the law, the behaviors and the intention of Christ that He had for us and has for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, we can obviously see that Paul, this spiritual gift here he was intending, as far as some spiritual gift, "I may impart to you some spiritual gift," there, verse 11, "that you may be established." What that is that's actually talking about the miraculous things that were in the first century. These things in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, they would cease. They would not continue. How do I know that? Because there's not apostles of Jesus Christ walking around today. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is not indicating that that is happening. There's no miracles that are clear and before my eyes that I can understand that this happened immediately. That was by the will of Jesus Christ. This man is healed. He was lame and now he's healed completely. I know he was lame for 40 years of his life and now he's healed completely. How is that possible? Those things aren't happening anymore. It's now all given the will of God as far as that goes. We just need to follow it. And it has been evidential. It's been proven by those miracles in the first century. These are eyewitness accounts. Brethren, one thing that we need to confirm here as far as talking about eyewitness testimony and history. People say the Bible's not history. People say the Bible's not credible as history. Is that proper? What about the history of all these other nations, the Romans? What about the history of all these other big nations that you heard about through, you know, all the way from kindergarten to 12th grade back in school? All these other nations you heard about in college, about the Hittites, about the Assyrians, about the Babylonians. You heard about all these other nations. What about them? Was their history not written down in books by eyewitness testimony of the people that lived during those times? You see, it's exactly the same. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John lived in the first century. The people that wrote the epistles, Paul primarily, lived in the first century. And they could write those things down because they saw Jesus die on a cross, forgiving his enemies, rise from the dead. They saw those things. They saw the miracles that Jesus did, and certainly many more things he did at the end of the book of John, that there's so much more we can't even write in this book. Brethren, that's one thing that we need to clarify, because people say that the Bible is not history. It is history. It's eyewitness testimony, just as your history books even themselves, your secular history books, are. Paul, though, longing here to see the Roman church to help them spiritually, everyone knew of the faith of the Roman Church of Christ. They just needed even a spiritual gift to help confirm the message here as it was the first century. And the Bible accounts of the Scriptures in fullness that we have today as our Bibles was not yet really a thing. It was still being given in scrolls and messages and all those different things and in speaking. Even strong Christians need encouragement. Just because I've been a Christian for 10 years, for 50 years, I need encouragement. The elders of the church here, do they need encouragement? Yeah. Leon's shaking his head, yes. I know that Bruce needs encouragement. The elders need encouragement. I, as a preacher, need encouragement. Everyone here needs encouragement as Christians to continue on the good path of Jesus Christ. Everyone needs encouragement. They need to be challenged. They need to see even the faith of other Christians. All of this text here in the first part of this chapter is really trying to get to that. The faith of Christians helping us and encouraging us, and that's even why Paul is commending them for that. And that would be passed around to the churches as well so they could see the faith of the Roman Church of Christ. But it was already known anyways because of their works. Now, Romans 1, 13 through 15, there was a lot of lessons there that we could take. Certainly there's more. But there in verse 13, if you continue with me, "Now I did not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who in Rome also." Who did Paul preach to? As another lesson that we can learn here. Everyone needs spiritual food. Everyone needs spiritual strength. Everyone needs to know about Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. Not about John Smith being the way, the truth, and the life. Not about John Calvin or about Darwin being the way, the truth, and the life. They need to know about Jesus Christ. They need to know that He died and He rose from the dead, that we might die, put away our sins, and live again in Jesus Christ and actually have them those sins washed away completely by the white pureness of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, of His blood, washing it away. People need to know those things. People need to know that they might live in an afterlife with God. If they don't know it, how sad that we never took it to them. How sad that they never maybe tried to search for it also, yes, as well. There's many things that could go with that. But everyone needs spiritual food. Everyone needs spiritual growth, even as Christians. Strengthening, encouragement, challenging, chastening even from God. Everyone needs to put their faith in Jesus Christ and God, pray more, try to be encouraged more, be around brethren more. And that's not to say to not be around the world, because again, as we've been preaching constantly through this lesson, we need to commit the gospel even to the world, to try to teach more of fellow people, more of our fellow men to become Christians. But who would Paul preach to? To fellow Christians, to those of the world, Jews and Gentiles, as he said there. He preached to the best, the brightest, and he preached to the simplest and the quietest. Paul preached even to be spiritually strong to Christians like the Roman Church of Christ. How many chapters of this book of Romans are there? Notice he starts with, your faith is known throughout the world. He starts with these beautiful things about the Roman Church of Christ. And then he instructs for how many chapters? Go through there. What does it say? 16 chapters that you can read through of Paul instructing as far as how to behave and how to live as a Christian according to the law of Christ, and putting away things like circumcision, putting away all these different things from the Old Testament because they no longer apply for Christians under the law of Christ. For those in Israel who were living according to the law of Moses, were they living according to the New Testament? No, they were not. And so why should we in the New Testament have to live according to the law of Moses? And that's why Jesus said that there's a better covenant today, that those things were a tutor to bring us to Christ. Certainly we all as Christians should look to the Gospels, the epistles, and be able to easily understand that. This apostle, though, this Paul, understood that everyone needs spiritual food, and just because one becomes a Christian doesn't mean the spiritual growth ends there. So the question that we need to ask ourselves today is, church, is our faith known, our prayers made often by us individually, and even as a congregation, and preaching everywhere, is it being done by even Variable Church of Christ, in whatever way that is? Whether it be by letters, whether it be by door knocking, whatever you want to put the placeholder there. Is our faith known? And what type of faith are we showing to people? Are we showing a belligerent faith? You know, so often people say Jesus Christ's religion is the thing that's responsible for all those deaths throughout the centuries. All these people killing each other as far as religion. Jesus Christ is responsible for all those things. And all these people who follow Him responsible. How ridiculous. Because Jesus Christ died on a cross forgiving His enemies. So how does that make any sense? You see, those people took words of Jesus Christ, perverted by putting in other words, and lived according to a different doctrine, a different system of faith. That's not Jesus Christ's will. That's not what Jesus Christ taught. If you go into the Quran and you read the things that Muhammad has to say, and you insert things of your own will, of your own mind, of your own idea into Muhammad's words, that's changing Muhammad's words. I'm not condoning what he says. It's just simple fact. If you pervert a book at all, it is no longer the same book. It's not the same message. So keep that in mind whenever people say it's Jesus Christ's fault that all these bad things happen, because it seems like Jesus Christ showed love to everybody. Like He wanted everyone to be saved. Like He wanted people to live and people to be happy and at peace within the way that He taught to live. Rather than at war with each other, rather than bashing each other's faces in, rather than smacking each other in the face, He wanted people to love each other, to be at peace. And so never, ever let somebody say such things about Jesus without certainly saying, my Jesus is different. My Jesus gave a will that doesn't condone such actions. My faith is according to the will of Jesus Christ. The prayers that I pray are in the name of Jesus Christ. The preaching that I do is according to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Not according to John Calvin. Not according to Muhammad. Not according to any of those guys or any women that have ever tried to start a religion. It's according to Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead, who did that for me. That's who my faith is according to. And I trust in Him. I don't trust in anyone else the way I trust in Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here today, as far as invitation, who needs to respond, as far as needing a prayer for whatever reason, if you have one who is sick in your family, if you need prayers for encouragement, if you need prayers for challenge, if you have a sin in your life you need to get rid of it, let us pray with you. Let us ask forgiveness from our God today. If you have not become a Christian, how do you become one? It's very clear in the book of Mark, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ in chapter 16. It's clear in Acts chapter 2 that you must repent and then be baptized. You must also confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God in Romans chapter 10, 9 through 10. And also, in baptism, it's an immersion, according to the original Koine Greek. You must actually be immersed into water, as in this water here that we have behind us. We're not talking about dipping. We're not talking about halfway. We're talking about full immersion. Why? Because that's what Koine Greek word, baptizo, means, is full immersion. And whenever you look at the versions, how they've changed it even today, of the word baptism, that's really a word that's trying to encompass many more things. But really, the original word, again, from the Koine Greek is unpervertible as far as if you read it properly, if you translate it properly, it's immersion. And so you'd be immersed into water for what? Acts chapter 2, remission of sins, and to be added to the church, as the latter part of that chapter reads. When you're added to the church, you remain in the church. You remain in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, as 1 John indicates, as long as you what? Walk in the light, as He is in the light. But, brethren, you must continue on that light path, on that faithful path, living in the system of faith that Jesus Christ presents all of your life. So if you have any need today, we'd ask that you come and you'd to the front here and to one of these pews as we stand and praise our God together in song.